And now that we just talk through that, like I want to punch the Angels commentators in the throat.
My
like
gosh.
You, like, and that's the other thing. Like, what do you get out of this? Mm. One, you're the goddamn Angels. Two, how does this benefit you? Mm-hmm. So are you trashing Sacramento, or do you think you're de facto trashing the A's? Or do you think you're trashing Fisher, mm-hmm. who I'd probably be a little bit careful with that because he is still an owner of a Major League Baseball team. Mm-hmm. But whatever. I just don't understand. You talked about the discords with like Angel and Caitlin and how it, you know, posing the question, does it turn people off from the WNBA? This turns me off from the A's. Mm. This whole wondering, man, A's, you want to trash the A's? They had an 11-game losing streak. That's enough. Mm-hmm. There is enough there to write about, to talk about. There is enough there. But we're talking about dugouts and bullpens and media rooms, and it's like,
be better at baseball.
What are we doing?
Be better.
Like,
at baseball.
What are we talking about? Like right. that's sports media discourse. Mm-hmm. All of this other stuff is it's motionless.
We talk
it's not going
about,
anywhere.
We talk about all this, like you said, all this other stuff, the pitching, the hitting, and having to walk to the clubhouse. The other team has to do the same thing, and they beat your ass every time they come here.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Be better at baseball first and foremost. And second of all, like, this is what I talk about with the fake hustle that that also irritates me. Where was this Angels announcer 3 years ago? Hmm. Was he saying anything about got to keep the team in Oakland and it's a travesty what's going on? Mm-hmm. Now they're gone and you got all these opinions. And mm-hmm. You weren't saying this stuff 2-3 years ago. You were. I got league, whatever the league extra innings is. I watch all these games when the A's would come through these towns. Wasn't nobody talking about Fisher. Wasn't nobody talking about the A's having to stay in Oakland. If anything, they would talk about the sewage in the Coliseum. It takes shots at the Coliseum. Mm-hmm. So that stop. There are some people who have been on it for a long time, and I salute them. There's people now who are just jumping on the bandwagon when you had nothing to say.
Mm-hmm. It's
X
cool.
Amount of years ago.
It's cool to trash Sacramento and the A's and Major League Baseball in the city. Like, it's fun. It's topical. That's what we're going to do. It's like comedians. They jump on what's topical, right? They make jokes out of it. Sports media is no different. Let's trash the Kings.
Yeah.
Or that's what I'm used to saying. Let's trash the A's. Let's trash baseball.
As Michael Jordan once said, you don't want to watch baseball like that? Don't watch it like that. Break.
Okay. All right, man.
I don't know who the hell that was.
That was Mike. What are you talking about?
Yeah, Mike.
That was clearly Mike.
Mike, you're not going to play on this team. I'll tell you that much.
Mike, what he told you? He said, you didn't want to play basketball that way? Why? Don't play that way. Get a break.
It is not Michael Jordan, sir.
Yeah.
That's Michael Gordon or something. That's not Michael Jordan.
Scooter's right, man. Take a lap.
Yeah, that's wow.
Just go for a walk.
Zabel says that's Michael B. Jordan. Not even him.
You need to walk all the way down to Complex office and back.
Yeah, go give Complex a high five real quick.
Yeah, JT Love.
That's rough.
Clown show.
what was his name? Man, I forgot his
Columbo's
name.
Columbo's wife.
Columbo's wife was right.
That was like the puke guy not puking.
Oh, that's tough.
Oh,
that is tough.
You said I was maybe also wrong with the Knicks.
Yeah, I don't think you were wrong about your interactions with our man Matt or anyone's interactions along those lines at all. But I think you might have been wrong about something with the Knicks. Mm. I've been thinking about this kind of as the show has gone along because, you know, we got talking. He was like, we'll get to the Knicks Pacers. Knicks deserve, you know, credit for getting game three. That was a hell of a game between those two a couple days ago. Third 20-point comeback of the postseason. That's big time. Mm-hmm. Like, that's winning basketball. You said you don't want the Knicks going into tonight's game thinking that they did something. And I'm wondering if they did. Mm. And I think, you know, we had game one, which the Knicks were in complete control of. Game two, admittedly, I didn't watch. We were out at the park, and I didn't really make an effort to go back and watch because I knew we had game three coming up. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, this is 3-0 Indiana. This is crazy. Like, I could see Indiana winning this series. I could see them winning the NBA championship. I couldn't see them going up 3-0 on the Knicks. They were dominating them. My crew was at the house. We were watching. Katie's like a Pacers fan all of a sudden. Like, they're running the Knicks out of the gym. Mm-hmm. And then you just, like, watch it. Hey, man, they really chipped into this lead. And now we're, like, glued, you know, to the screen. Mm-hmm. And there was a stretch. I think I took a mental note of it. Of course, it was 2 days ago. It was 90 seconds left. Mm-hmm. The Pacers had a possession where everyone touched the ball. Everyone might have touched the ball twice. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching this like, this is the first time they look shook. Mm. Like, the Pacers look shook. Like, they weren't aggressively looking for shots. They were trying. It's like they kept trying to find the perfectly open shot, and no one wanted to take it. Mm. And I think it ended with a...
Was it Turner? It was
who wears the headband? Or... It might have been Miles Turner, come to think about it. It was a three. Like,
yeah.
And it was like, I was like, that was a bad possession. And then they had like another bad possession right after that one. Mm. I said out loud, they're shook. Mm. This is the first time they've looked shook the whole series. Mm-hmm. Cat was dead. Done. New York was going to destroy his ass.
After all of that?
I would have tuned in for the Stephen A. Smith rant on a Carl Anthony Towns game in the Eastern Conference Finals where he goes into the fourth quarter with 4 points. But he had the fourth quarter that he had. He had a dunk that I ain't seen him having. Oh, it was in the game. I don't know if it was in the fourth quarter, but he had a dunk I ain't seen him having years.
Yeah, it was fourth quarter. Yeah.
And I think back to the way game one went. I think to the way game three went. I wonder if New York enters tonight's game feeling great about where they're at. It's 2-0. We always talk about winning on the road. I think there's an argument there's more pressure to win at home.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I can believe that. You're in front of that home crowd. They're there to see you. They're hanging. People talk about the oh, man, the roar of the crowd really got us up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what did that? Oh. What'd that do to you?
That energy.
When you come up, you know, a foot short on a 3-point shot and the crowd, 17,000 people collectively groan, what does that do to you? Mm. And I wondered, they're not feeding off that heel energy anymore. Mm. Now you're Cody the babyface. Mm. And that's different. That's, you think about Cody's reaction at WrestleMania this last year versus the year prior. Mm-hmm. It's different. That babyface reaction is a different feel. Mm-hmm. And I think the Pacers might have a little more pressure on them than we think that they do. And in New York, I think if I'm a Knick, I'm feeling great going into tonight's game. I'm looking, again, forgetting game two. I'm looking at game one and three, and I know game two was close. I'm feeling great about where I'm at.
Yeah. I completely understand that. And it's almost, I don't think the Knicks are, like, their ceiling isn't as high as that Celtics team. So I don't want to make it like that. But it's kind of what people talked about in the Celtics series. And I remember Charles and Shaq and all those guys specifically talking about it after the Knicks had gone up 2-0, going back to the Garden, the Madison Square Garden. They said, boy, Game three, you better get if you're the Knicks. They're like, you better get that. Because if you give them an opportunity winning game three, talking about the Celtics, it's going to be tight in game four. It's going to be real tight. Knicks ended up winning the game, ended up coming back in the second half and pulling away. But the mentality, the thought process, I thought was, it made a lot of sense. Because there is going to be a level of pressure on Indiana tonight to keep control of the series. Because, look, it's not over or nothing like that. But if it'll feel like if Indiana loses this game tonight, just wasted everything that we gained in those first two series. Now we're back to where we started this series, which is great for the Knicks, but the Pacers, it probably feels like a complete missed opportunity.
Absolutely. And absolutely.
Yeah, that's...
And you're going back to New York. You're facing the up... You going to get a third game? See, that's what I'm thinking, too. Like, you're going to get a third game in New York. Getting a third game in New York when up 3-1 versus tied 2-2, very different in my opinion.
That's facts.
Very, very different.
That's facts. It almost, and I was trying to think, we were on the air. I don't even know how our responses to this was. But remember when, remember that Clippers Maverick series when the road team won the first six games? That'd be crazy to see something like that
again. Oh, my God, that'd be insane.
Yeah, and I think that was a little different because there was COVID crowds. So it wasn't everybody. There were people in the crowd, in the arenas, but it was COVID crowds. But if we get these first four games where the road team wins all four games, first of all, I'd be happy. Second of all, that'd be crazy. Knicks in six.
Okay. We'll come
Did
back.
You see the head of, I'll tell you during the break. I'll tell you during the break.
Sorry, radio audience, you just don't get to find out.
Well, I can tell you when Jason Jones joins us, too. Yeah, Jason will enjoy it. He'll enjoy it.
Steelo and Casey on ESPN 1320. Jason Jones of The Athletic / The New York Times about to join us here in just a heartbeat. What were you going to share during the commercial break and I talked you out of because I thought it was so disrespectful to our wonderful radio audience?
Oh, I almost forgot. But I remembered. Did you see... in New York, they had a Jalen Brunson lookalike contest.
I did. Yeah, I saw that.
These people.
That's pretty wild.
These people crazy in New York, man.
That's pretty wild.
These people are crazy. They are.
Jalen Brunson lookalike contest is pretty amazing. It was what, like eight or nine guys?
Yeah. I might have got the double, like about. I thought it was about 10, 12 guys.
Okay.
The guy or whoever won, I didn't think he looked like Brunson a little bit. And they were like covering up their face. Oh, man. We say it all the time, man. Why is New York like that? They were so hyped after, I don't know if you like paid attention for Inside the NBA, but they were down 2-1. You hadn't done anything yet. And they just took over the behind the inside set.
Oh, yeah. That was crazy.
This guy hadn't even done anything. Might be your only win of the series.
We were having not a lengthy debate. It started the conversation as I was watching that. I was like, are they inside? I was trying to figure out if they were, because they'd normally do the thing on the outside of the stadium. And I'm looking around. I was like, I know Indiana a little bit. I've been to that stadium. I think they're inside. And then it's outside the arena. Oh, wait, there's a door. No, and then we realized, no, they're very much inside.
Yeah, speaking of concourses, they're in the concourse.
Yeah, they definitely were. They definitely were. As we welcome in our man, Jason Jones of The Athletic.
What's the word, man? Why are we wearing this damn hat all the time?
He wears it every week.
I don't wear it every week, but I don't understand what's wrong with the hat.
Wear something from the Q's. Why do you got to wear this hat?
You've got the same hat. I don't know why you do this.
Now he's just coming on, starting.
See, I mean, it's getting ridiculous, as DeMarcus would have said. You know, everyone sees it.
Nobody sees anything. What are we talking about?
We see you posted up in front of the Dodger store.
Now, those pictures were circulating on the internet last week.
Yeah.
The internet catches everything.
Yeah, we saw that last week, too.
Yep.
Are you guys finished?
Now what you don't know, I don't know how you feel about this, Jason. He's a big Knicks fan now.
Oh, I know. He's been on that the Mecca thing for, you know,
well, yeah,
the
Mecca, was...
Knicks. If I wasn't a California Laker fan, I'd be a Knicks fan.
I ain't never said Laker fan.
If I wasn't a Laker fan, I'd be a Knicks fan. I mean,
okay,
fan,
Lake Show. Stop it. That was one of the early J Street vibes. That might even been throne room breakdown discussions about whether or not the Mecca is in New York or not.
Do you know how many times Complex has asked me, hey, what's J Street vibes?
How does he even see that?
Because somebody somewhere is still listening to that podcast. Somebody somewhere just last month. That podcast got a couple hundred downloads last month.
Why?
I don't know. But every once in a while, Complex goes, hey, what's J Street Vibes again?
That's hilarious.
Casey and Jason
Jones.
I actually
had a thought about J Street Vibes. The money got to be right, though, but.
The money's never going to be right, so you can let it go now.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's,
I learned that the hard way.
There's an avenue. There's an avenue.
There's got to actually be money received for it to be right or wrong.
Oh, man. Yeah. Goodness
they can't
gracious.
Say it's wrong if they never paid me.
Oh, my God.
We actually
never heard from Danny again.
I love Danny.
Never heard
Danny's
from this
a,
guy
Danny's
again.
A con man. Like Danny will rope us in so many times.
Run around. I'm just like, well, fill out the application. Did that. Where's my money? You gotta do this. Where's my money? Oh, well, we just realized we can't pay. What?
Come on, man.
It's only been 4 months.
I'll never forget when Jason told me, I didn't know, and we just happened to be talking after one of the shows. He's like, yeah, I'm still waiting to get my money. I was like, you mean from like this pay period? He's like, ever. I said, what?
I was getting so many different things. Well, it's a new year. Well, we changed this. Well, your podcast was actually not part of our system. Come on. Because like the name wasn't part of what we came up with, we had to do this and this and this. And did you fill out a time card? I said, what time card?
I couldn't believe it. I said, are you for real?
Like, man, it's only been 3-4 months. And
I said that, like, that night. I told Jason, I said, I might see you on Tuesday. I might not. If you say no, I understand. Like,
let me know.
Because if you say nah, I'll be like, yep, I'll talk to you on the radio.
I'll never forget. I'm sorry I didn't get back to you. I was like snowboarding on vacation. I was like, you owe me. Like, it's only been 2-3 months. Where's my money? It wasn't even a lot of money. It was just the principle of you're supposed to pay me.
Yeah, 100%. I could not believe that.
$10,000 or whatever. I'm like, I was supposed to get something, and I was the only one getting absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I felt so bad because I brought Jason into this whole thing.
He was apologizing. I'm so sorry. Had me studying King's games again, taking notes, watching all the games and everything. I'm telling my kids.
Didn't you guys record one? Didn't you guys record one after the Dodgers won the World Series?
We did. And that's the beginning of that podcast. Is like how they say Biggie went crazy before
Long Kiss Goodnight.
Long Kiss.
Yeah.
And nobody's like, it's not recorded. Yeah. That's Jason before we started recording.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He went ham.
I was gone. I'd actually kind of sobered up by the time it was time to record. Yeah, I was gone. My kids had never seen me so happy. They were like, wow.
Oh, man.
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Where are you at with this Knicks-Pacers series? You think the Knicks did something with that Game 3 win?
I think they did, but I think they got a win tonight.
Well, they definitely do that, yeah.
I think if they don't get this one, they lose in six. I just, yeah, to be down to win four or five, even though, I mean, it's not unfathomable. I just think that for whatever reason, this whole Tyrese, Rick Carl, you know, if Neesmith is right, I think Indiana's still going to win the series. I think that's where that game changed. I know they blew a big lead, but that game changed, you know, when, you know, Steph Neesmith couldn't play for a few minutes.
Steph Neesmith.
He was Steph for about for about 15 minutes in game one. That's a very interesting series to me, just for a lot of reasons. I've always been a big Tyrese fan, and it's funny watching people who claim they watch basketball just discovering Tyrese Halliburton like last 2 weeks. They're like, oh my god, he's really good. Yeah, he's been good.
Yeah, you think?
I thought somebody on somewhere like, I had no idea Sacramento drafted him.
Oh,
I was just like, oh god. Like, do you realize the Warriors passed on him? You realize like 9 other teams passed, like 10 teams passed on him? Man. And really only one team got a player you would probably say is better than him, and that's, you know, Ant. It wasn't like he got, you know, so I mean, it's funny how everyone just jumps to, oh, the Kings fumbled. It was like, I think the Warriors would be a much better place if they had taken Tyrese Halliburton and not James Wiseman.
Yeah. Oh, I think I saw a clip. I think it was Tyrese Halliburton. I could be wrong, but I think it was him talking about the draft process, and he said he thought he had his best workout with the Warriors. He's like, I had my best workout. Like, I wanted to go there. I was killing. I thought I was going to go there. And
we're like, no. The other funny Tyrese one, the Wizards called him and said, we're taking you. And then they took someone else.
Come on, man. Come on.
Hey, we're taking you. Hold up. This other dude's available. Oh, we're taking him. And oops. That's got, you know.
The Kings would never.
Now I gotta see who was the guy.
It's just crazy just watching some of this stuff now. The best thing that came out of it was that whole Urkel thing they did with him.
That was funny.
That was crazy.
That was crazy. I can't be offended because I keep laughing at it. This is hilarious.
That was hella funny.
You can't be offended when it's that accurate.
Yeah, then what is a free pops until it's backwards? I mean, Tyrese is like becoming, I mean, he's going to be a, you know, beyond like a star beyond basketball, win or lose this series. It's because a lot of people who don't follow the NBA closely, if you didn't follow them in Sacramento, if you don't watch the Pacers, you don't, I mean, those of us who have been around Tyrese knows he has his personality and he's fun and all that. A lot of folks in America are just learning about him now. So that's just been fun to watch, just because he's always doing WWE like video game add on like things. He's middle of the series. Yeah, I'm downloadable on the game now. It's like this. Yeah, he's hilarious.
Denny was the player that Washington took in that draft.
Okay.
3 spots ahead of Tyrese Halliburton.
That was Ant-Man's draft.
Ant-Man. Yeah. I actually got some good players in this draft. There's Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, Obi.
Would you take Tyrese? LaMelo was 2. Mm-hmm. Would you take Tyrese before LaMelo?
No.
Jason?
I'd take Tyrese over LaMelo.
Yeah, I think I would too. And you know, I like LaMelo.
Just based on availability.
Well, there's that too, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, LaMelo might end up being okay now he got out them shoes, you know, but them shoes was setting his brother back.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
I think LaMelo's, you know, LaMelo's a star player, but I was a Tyrese fan from the, you know, early on with the way he played in Sacramento. That team wasn't even very good, but remember his rookie year when he got hurt and how that team just like seemed so lost.
He was like vital to the success of the organization. Like,
and they were like winning 4 out of every 10 games, and without him, they couldn't figure anything out. And I was like, I don't know what it is, but that kid has something that's different. Because they're all, you got all the vets going, yeah, we just missed Tyrese. And I said,
guy been here for 2 months.
Saying about him was he's a connector. Mm-hmm. They kept saying everyone I would talk to, he's a connector. You know, he's so, you know, he's one of those guys where you can't quantify what that does to a team. Yeah. But yeah, I remember when he got hurt that rookie year, it was like, these guys just look so lost and confused. It was just a weird thing because whenever De'Aaron would get hurt, they would start winning.
Oh,
no, but remember that stretch a couple of times early in De'Aaron's career?
When they
and they would go on these winning streaks when he got hurt. I'm not saying it to say it was De'Aaron's fault.
Yeah,
it was just one of those weird things about the team. It was just weird.
Just a little weird quirk.
It was weird, yeah.
Maybe it wasn't weird.
That was just,
or maybe not.
Maybe it sounds like I'm hating on De'Aaron, but I'm not hating on De'Aaron. Because the times I was talking about before Tyrese was even there.
Yeah. So we had a discussion about this game four with the Knicks and the Pacers and just the mindset of who might have more pressure on them. Obviously, Knicks, you don't want to go down 3-1, so they probably got the most pressure. But Indiana trying to keep their advantage, and then you've been in these type of environments, the energy of the home crowd, whether it's when something's going really good or things get tight, they get tight all around the arena. Who do you think has more pressure in this game for?
I still think it's the Knicks because they haven't wanted. I mean, that's because they're down. Mm-hmm. But if you're Indiana, they have that weird numbers flip where like some of their best guys don't play as well at home during the postseason. They need a real. I mean, like, and they've gotten like. I mean, they got blown out against Cleveland at home, and then you know they blow a 20-point lead at home. And this, they need to me a really good home win though. Because I don't think you want to go back to New York, you know, tied, you know, and go into all that and that environment like that. I think, you know what, Indiana needs to win. Mm. Forget it. Indiana. Mm. So I think Indiana, you know, because what good is those two wins at home on the road? You come back and you lose two home games.
Yeah, it's a massive momentum swing if New York.
Yeah. You get both of the games in MSG. You come home and lose both your home games. Mm. You know, then all that talk about no team has ever lost the first two games at home in the conference finals and won doesn't mean anything because now it's tied all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So I think Indiana does not want to go back to New York tied 2-2.
This series has been great. It's had everything.
It's
only been three games, but it's had everything. It's
had, you know, big leads, you know, weird, crazy bounces, plenty of cat memes now. I mean, it's got everything. Cat, Tyrese.
SEC, you know. What do you mean?
Cat.
He's got to be trolling us at this point. Cat has got to be trolling us. You got the Jalen Brunson foul bait, the one clip of him grabbing Neesmith by the arm.
Hitting himself in the face.
Smacking himself.
Now, that's being dedicated to being a foul merchant right there.
Yeah. You've got some pretty you've had some pretty good stuff in this series. It's been – I found it more entertaining than the other series.
Oh, significantly more entertaining. And part of that is I think Minnesota stinks.
Oh,
I don't think Minnesota's good, man.
This is the thing about Minnesota. For 2 weeks, they will look like a championship team, and then for 2 weeks, they'll do this.
Well, they hit a tough stretch then.
Yeah, this is what they've done all year. Like I said, I'm like, Rudy Gobert really had 27 and 24 against the Lakers.
Jeez.
That might make me stop
watching basketball. He did that. If he did that,
I don't think that man has had 27 points since that Lakers game.
Total.
That's what I mean.
That's a bigger indictment on the Lakers than it was about how good Rudy Gobert. I mean, they're doing the AI cut-ups with Julius Randle. I'm like, that man was unstoppable for two, not even two rounds, even the first part of this series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, you know, I've always wondered, could Jalen Williams be like a solid, you know, complimentary scorer? He is this series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chet Holmgren finding his game, you know, Alex Caruso being, I know what Alex Caruso is.
That's your boy.
I forever will have beef with Rob Pelinka over that. Charles Taylor Horton Tucker over him. Talk about bad choices.
I think the Timberwolves are a good team, but they're very inconsistent, which is problematic, obviously. And then last night, like, who do you put the onus on what we saw last night? And what I'm talking about is Anthony Edwards' lack of shooting and his just shot attempts. Same with Julius Randle. I think Chris Finch has something to do with that as well. But it starts with the players for sure. But what do you kind of attribute that to? And who should be looking at that? Like, that's unacceptable.
I think part of it is this is kind of now that you're playing a good defensive team, this is exposing one of their flaws on the roster. They don't really have a playmaker. Like, Mike Conley is not a playmaking, get you 10, 12 assist point guard. It really comes down to what Ant can create for them. And I think what you're seeing is, I think, you know, we forget how young Ant really is as a player sometime. What is this, like year 5 for him? He's still, you know, and he came, you know, did a year of college. He's still a really young guy. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just really exposing the fact that they don't have another real playmaker on the perimeter. I mean, they've got a lot of nice pieces, but against a good defense like that, now, this is where you see how the whole matchup thing is a big deal. The reason why teams like the Lakers did good against OKC in the regular season, they had multiple guys who could make plays, who could create. In this series, you can pretty much just load up on Anthony. And if he doesn't go off like he did in game 3, who on that team is going to, you know, Julius is not going to, he's not a creator. You know, I don't know where they go. And, you know, and then even statistically, this last game, Minnesota was like leading most of the categories. They still lost. I just think they've run into, you know, one of the best, you know, which has been all year, one of the best defensive teams in the league. And they're going to make, you know, they're not going to let Rudy Gobert get 27 points. Mm-hmm. They're not going to give Nikhil, you know, all those open shots. They're not going to let DiVincenzo get comfortable. Mm-hmm. So I think some of that's on, you know, on coaching and the players, but some of it's just the fact that what do you do? I mean, if Ant's got to go for 40 every night, they don't got a chance anyway.
Mm-hmm. All right.
In their defense, no one's letting Rudy Gobert go for 27 except for
this Darvin Ham's fault.
It was nice. It was nice talking to you guys. Hope you had a great Memorial Day. Yeah.
Do you know how many other times Rudy Gobert scored? Do you know how many other times
this year or in his career?
This year.
Oh, once.
It was one time. He scored 35 points against Brooklyn on April 11th.
Wow.
Prior to that, wow. His high was 23 points. He scored more than 20 points 5 times all year. Jeez. The 6th. Was against the Los Angeles Lakers.
Thanks for making this really making my day.
No, we've got to be able to laugh at ourselves.
That was information I did not need to know. It was bad enough watching it.
It gets even better. How many times do you think Rudy Gobert scored 27 or more points last year?
No times.
None.
That was a game of a lifetime for him, man.
27-24 to Rudy Gobert, you pretty much deserve to go home. You deserve to be in Cancun. There's no excuse for that.
With your season on the line.
Can I point out, he did not do it the year before either.
No, this really might be the game of a lifetime from this dude. Wow.
Now we're back to the 2021-2022 season.
He's not even on Minnesota no more, is he?
Rudy Gobert's season high in a 132-127 overtime victory. He scored 27 points. He didn't have 24 rebounds that year either. I'm sorry, Jason. That man scored 27 and 24.
Goodness gracious. gracious.
Jay, he sucks so bad. He is awful.
What are you making, $45 million?
Oh, man.
Man. Well.
My man Tony Jones would say he's one of the best screen setters in the NBA.
You can't That's even get Ant open right now. How good of a screen.
My favorite thing is when he has a guy like a mismatch in the paint, they look at him and like, no.
That's what Randall did earlier this year. He was right there at the and right in front of the rim. Randall said, get through, go through, go through. And then Rudy stood there and got a 3-second call.
I'll show you, Julius.
And then they got mad at Rudy. They didn't get mad at Randall for not passing it. Ant was like, Rudy, what are you doing?
This is just further, further indictment on the fact that the Lakers had me playing center.
Oh my God, man.
Well, they had a 6'11 guy there that JJ just wouldn't play.
Yeah.
He once had 24 points and 28 rebounds.
Against Lakers?
In a loss to the Warriors.
Oh, damn.
What year was this? This is the 2021 season. Oh, man.
This is taking a very sad
time. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop looking at Rudy Gobert stats.
I heard Trae Young just learned how to pass.
Well,
what'd Trae do?
Yeah, what did Trae do?
Nothing. I just was trying to change.
Somebody Trae Young, the NBA assist leader this year, man. What you talking about?
Somebody on TV said he's just learning how to pass or something. So Trae was like, I think it was one of the Morris twins. He was like, I love Marcus, but yeah, this is why you have to win, because it's how these narratives get started when you don't win. That man missed the playoffs, and all of a sudden, he's never passed the ball.
Trae was feeling a little. I think he was like in his feelings a little bit, or trying to hold on to his spot as New York City villain, because he just randomly tweeted out. I think it was might have been after Game 7 or after Game 1. He's like, just randomly, he's like, honestly, OKC Thunder games are way louder than any game at Madison Square Garden.
He's begging for some heat. They're like, shut up.
They ain't even paying attention to you right now, buddy.
That's almost as funny as the whole Paul George thing, talking about the fact the fans said we could have kept a bias for this.
Oh. These fans are ruthless, man. I'm telling you.
He said we should have just kept Tobias. This is what you were going to do.
Just ruthless.
Like tweeting about it, smoking a cigar.
Damn, man. I hope my boy playoff
Tobias made the playoffs.
He did. And had some good moments, too.
Maybe Paul George is the problem.
Well, he's certainly not the solution anymore.
Poor Paul.
That fall off was tough.
Man, quick too.
That fall off.
It all started when he started, you know, we talk about LeBron with the lies. It all started with the Paul. We started lying. Remember when he was like, I never wanted to be a Laker. And they started pulling up all these. I didn't grow up a Laker fan. I was always a Clipper fan. And they started pulling up all these receipts about him saying other stuff.
Like, I don't understand why people lie. Like, there isn't an entire planet full of investigative reporters who will find your old messages
within like, 30 minutes.
Yeah, he's like, you know, and then that's when people in L.A. were like, well, remember, he's not from L.A., he's from Palmdale. And they started posting maps about how far Palmdale actually was from L.A., and all of a sudden L.A. was done with him. They're like, who comes out of this, like, acts like you never said that?
Right. You know you said that.
Yeah, it just got, you know, what was that? They call me Playoff P, and it was like.
Literally no one ever said that.
Like, literally no one ever has called you Playoff P.
Oh, my God. Palmdale is hella far from Los Angeles.
It's Palmdale's
damn near in the Grapevine.
Isn't Palmdale by Six Flags?
It's past Six Flags, man.
It's like, yeah, it's like inward, too. It's like.
Yeah. This dude, he damn near from Nevada at this point.
Fresno.
he brought it on himself when he started with that, and then the whole, like when he said they call me Playoff P, and they're like, who called you that? And they start going through his playoff, like, they're like, they said they didn't call you that against Indiana, against Miami for sure.
Damn. Well, remember when the Gatorade commercial came out?
Yeah.
And he hit the buzzer beater, and they found out that was the only buzzer beater he had ever hit in his life.
Well, they would what they did, because man, the internet is just it's a bad place. So yeah, they would play the video, they would play the commercial, and then right when he goes to shoot it, they would clip to him hitting the back of the backboard on a shot, and
they would go back to that with whatever that game against the Nuggets was.
The internet is a terrible place, but it can be very funny.
Someday that's all you have if you want to laugh. I mean, yeah. And Paul, you know, he does it all to himself, though.
He got his own airport out there in Palmdale. That's how far away it's from.
That nobody seems to use.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's because where are you going to go? Where are you going? Flying into Palmdale? What are we going to drive 4 hours to get to LA?
When he came with the whole I never liked the Lakers growing up thing, that's when the whole city of LA was like, you're from Palmdale. Shut up. I'm like, poor. Then the whole podcast, I'm gonna stop podcasting to focus on winning. I'm like, guys are tanking. You don't want to win anymore.
You're 6-34.
It's like, come on, man.
Talking about.
I don't think Paul's a bad. It's just like these dudes just forget that the stuff is literally out there. It's kind of like LeBron with the dunk contest. Like, there's literally video of you saying you're going to do it. You tried to hedge it, but you said you, it's always funny when the guys forget that there's evidence of, you know, my other favorite guy now is Rashad McCants.
Oh, maybe I'm just
Rashad McCants is the only person I ever saw that made Harrison Barnes roll his eyes.
What did he do? Don't
well,
we have a, he have
the
a
second
sister.
Person.
He have a sister that played here. Didn't he? Didn't he have a sister that played for the Monarchs?
I don't know. I know he played for the Kings, and that was quite an adventure. That was my first year on the beat, and I was just like, is this guy for real? He's the guy when Kevin Martin had 50, he waved off Kevin Martin to go ISO. So when he's telling these stories about he could have had, you know, I could have had 81, and Tony Allen's like, okay, it's been a great show. Like, we're not doing – I don't think anyone from that Raymond Felton basically went on the air and said, I will fight that man.
Yeah, like, they don't like each other at all.
No one likes, I don't think anyone from that school likes Rashad McCants. They're like, because he tried to do the whole, I never went to class thing. It's like, you give some of these guys a microphone and it gets crazy.
I'm sorry. I'm fascinated by Palmdale. It is the funniest thing I've ever seen. Palmdale, it's a part of Los Angeles County.
Yeah.
But when you look at the map, it's like, here's Los Angeles County and everything that we know Los Angeles is, right? Or I shouldn't say it. This is Los Angeles County. This is everything that we know Los Angeles is. Palmdale is up here.
Yeah.
Separated by mountains.
Yeah.
What's the exact? It's northeast, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That's why it's so funny, because it was like I said, and Paul did it all to himself. But this was why it's so funny. They're like, he actually probably was closer to Fresno than he was to LA.
Yeah, he was closer to Carson City than Carson.
Oh, this is hilarious.
Paul, absolutely. And so hilarious. Many of these guys are unintentionally funny. Like, he cracks me up. Like I said,
Cat,
I believe
Cat's got the crown right now.
Cat knows what he's doing at this point, I think, sometimes. But some of those pictures, though.
Like, no, Cat is
doing
Cat
that
is
in
hilarious.
The middle of the game. Like, why are you doing that? Like, what's the Boston one where he's like, oh. Like, why are you doing that? I'm like, you
that's
gotta
the
be
Tatum one.
You gotta be doing that on purpose. I think he's just, it's almost like he says, you know what? Let's have some fun with this. You know, you guys are going to keep calling me all these names, even the freaking fan interview, talking about give me your zestiest Cat impersonation, and all these people are doing it. And then he'll like go on TV and switch to like a New York accent. He knows.
Yo, that's great. He forgot to turn the accent back on after the win the other night.
He knows what he's doing.
He forgot to turn it back on.
The classic, yeah, I'm from Echo Park.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll have overall, he'll do something very New York for game five. Something very New York. He'll
I need them to win because Cat going to be in rare form on game five or that walk-in.
Come in listening to Big Pun or something, you know. He going to come dressed like Spike Lee. Man, this man knows what this man's a genius. He knows exactly what he's doing.
That's amazing.
Come on, man. Let's get this win tonight, Knicks. Come on. Come on, fellas. Come on.
You're doing a lot.
What do you mean? I want the Knicks to win. What am I doing a lot? I want him to win.
You should want Tyrese to win.
Let's go. I like Tyrese. That's my boy.
Yes, sir.
Get rid of those damn.
They got those stupid yes, sir shirt out. That's how I know they're going to lose. They got them ugly ass yellow yes, sir shirt.
Pops is back in the building, though.
Yeah, Mr. Halliburton is back.
Bad playoff shirts. The Laker one was especially terrible. Win for joy. I don't know what that meant.
All right, man.
All right.
I said they probably were cooked the day they put on a win for joy shirt. I was like, but my thing was, who is joy?
Win for Rudy.
I was like, see.
Okay, man. That's my bad. That's my bad. Last time.
Get him two centers to deal with that. I can't believe I'm talking about. You got to sign someone to deal with Rudy Gobert.
Damn. Damn.
Well, according to Kenny, only Victor Wembanyama can contain him.
Well, we're done.
Yeah, well.
We're finished.
We appreciate you, Jay.
You're doing a good job.
Thank you, as always, my brother. You just need someone taller than 6'3 to guard him. You'll be fine.
We need someone other than Austin Reeves to box him out.
Well, there you go. We appreciate you, Jason. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, fam.
That's Jason Jones. I had no idea this show was so close to being over. I looked up like, oh, my God, we got to go. We spent a lot of time laughing at Paul George.
Oh, man, calm down, man. Shout out to you.
We're going to have we're gonna head over to 102.5. Join us over there. If not, we'll see you tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
You already know. Vamos, Knicks!